One of the best things about being in a community is that when you're in a community, you can call upon people when you're in a time of need. Not just the church community, but you can also go to other communities. This past week, I was preparing for this message, and I was thinking about this illustration, and I thought, who can I call that can help me with what I'm about to do here? And so I reached out to some men from my scouting days, when Ben was in scouts. And so I called one of my friends who was in that community, and I said, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. Do you think you can help me? And he said, well, I probably can't, but I know a guy who can. So I reached out to that guy, and his name was Paul. And on Thursday night, Paul showed up here with all this stuff. I was so grateful as Paul and I were able to chat together. We caught up, and he showed me just all the different pieces, parts of what we're looking at here. And so what's so interesting to me, as I said, is just to be able to trust in community when you need community to be there for you. Now, in case you don't know what I'm doing, I'm building a filter. I'm building a filter. Because here's the thing. When Paul and I talked, he said, you know what's interesting about the fact that you called me today, Doug, is that Thursday happened to be Bring Your Child to Work Day. And so where Paul works, a bunch of the mothers and fathers brought their children to his workplace. And as an engineer who does the work that he does, he actually built this exact thing for all the kids to be able to look at and to see and to participate. And what was so neat about what he shared with me is he said he built this thing, and the parents and the kids, they all were just impressed. Because they were talking, he opened this conversation with them. He said, you know, what happens if the power goes out in your house? What if the power goes out? Where are you going to get water? And of course, all the kids are like, well, we'll just drink bottled water. And Paul said, okay, that's possible. But what happens when the bottled water runs out? Because that can't happen. Or what happens in a place where you don't have bottled water or you have just dirty water? What can you do? And so the kids thought for a little bit, and that's when Paul built this. And so he took dirty water, which is dirty, and he poured it in to the cup, into the container. And he said, essentially, what it does is it filters down through. You can see a better picture of this while this is working. You can see it up here. Essentially, you've got a cloth at the bottom, and we've got charcoal, which is just fireplace charcoal, but just charcoal. And then we grab some sand. And then on top of the sand, we put some rocks. And so essentially, as the dirty water goes down through, it should just filter on down through. And eventually, thank you, and eventually we'll start to see it come out the bottom. As we're waiting for this to happen, I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the question. What would happen if you couldn't get clean water? What would happen if you couldn't get clean water? Imagine if all you had was dirty water. Imagine if this is all you had. If you just had the dirty water, it was diseased water, water that you couldn't drink, what would you do? What would you do if all you had was dirty water? You know, at a physical level, we all understand that without water, we die. Without water, we will die. If all you had was diseased water, you would die. In fact, the WHO, the UN, when they take all the different information from around the world, they say that approximately 1.4 million to over 3.5 million people die annually due to issues related to unsafe drinking water. Think about that. 1.5 to 3.5 million people die every year due to unsafe drinking water, inadequate sanitation, and poor hygiene. And these deaths are largely preventable. They're largely preventable. But millions of people do not have access to safe, drinkable water. Without the water, they die. That's just the reality. All through this series, we've been looking at different things that we need for our survival, right? We started by looking at we have to have a cutting tool or a knife, and we have to have fire, a compact shelter, a blanket, something that protects us. Today, we're looking at a water purifier, a bottle, something to contain that water, but we need to have clean water in order for us to live. And so we've been looking at all the things that we need physically for us to survive, and we've been comparing them to what's in our spiritual survival kit, so that our hearts have what it needs to prepare for whatever comes next. Just as water is the non-negotiable fuel for our physical bodies, the Holy Spirit is often described as living water. The Holy Spirit is the living water that is required for our spiritual survival. Without physical water, our bodies shut down in just days. In 3 days, our bodies shut down. Without spiritual connection, our soul withers. Our strength fails. And as a people, we become truly lost. Look back at these two types of water that we have today. Is this even the dirty water and what should be the clean water? If we look at the two types of water, right? Look at them, the muddy water, and the clean water. We've already said that if all we had was dirty water, then eventually sickness would overtake us, right? If that's what we had, if we had muddy water, sickness would overtake us and we would die. But the clean water, it gives us life. The clean water gives us life. When you're thirsty, a tall glass of cool, clean water is refreshing. Ever been on a summer day where it's hot and you just need that water? You get a cool glass of water. It's refreshing, sustaining. It's invigorating. If you had the choice between dirty water or clean water, which would you choose? Right? I'm hoping all of us would not choose the dirty water, but we would choose the clean water. But so many of us regularly gamble with our choices of spiritual water. It's as if we think, well, it's too much effort. It's too much effort to get to the clean water. Maybe we think it takes too long to run through that filter process. Maybe it's not going to work the way we want it to work. It's too hard for us to get the clean water. And so, you know, we just don't do it. We don't take the time. We're like, maybe I don't have the items that I need. I don't know what those things are to actually get the clean water. So we just figure out, we say, metaphorically, we just drink the dirty water. We shortchange the whole process for the clean water. We just say, this is what I have. This is what I'm going to drink. In the first pages of the book of Joshua, we read this story about Moses. Moses, who was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the desert. And they've been wandering around for 40 years. And so Moses, the great leader of God's people, has now died as we enter into the book of Joshua. And in his second in command, Moses' second in command is Joshua, and he's given the responsibility of bringing the people out of the wilderness into the promised land. This is the story of Joshua. Now, the Israelites are scared because there's people already living in the promised land. There's already these people, and they look big, like giants to them. And they're scared because the people are bigger and stronger and scarier and tougher than they are. And the Israelites are afraid that if they go into battle against the people of the promised land, that they're going to get beaten up and they're going to lose. Like, who are we? We've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and now we're just going to go into this promised land where there's people already there established, and we're going to win against them? They're afraid. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, God is explaining to Joshua, he's saying, you still need to follow my lead here. You need to go and enter the promised land. This is what my goal, my expectation is of you. Go do this thing, Joshua. And then God follows with this phrase. He says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua is about to lead a nation who has been wandering around in the desert, and he's about to lead them into a war. The people are scared, but God says, be strong and courageous. Have you ever had someone tell you, don't be afraid? You ever had someone tell you, Don't be anxious. Don't be scared. I have a psychiatrist friend who says, you can't just tell someone don't feel a certain way. Like, that's not a thing. Don't be scared. Don't be anxious. Don't be sad. It doesn't work like that. Right? It doesn't work like that. So why is God in the Bible saying to Joshua, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, when it doesn't work that way? Courage, like physical stamina, isn't something that we can just conjure up because we want to. It's not something that we can conjure up out of nothing. Courage requires a source. When God says these things to Joshua, it is God's way of reminding him, Joshua, you are not alone. Your strength, your courage, it's not based on who you are, it's based on who I am, says God. I can't just make this water clean, clearly. I can't just make it clean. No matter how much I want to make it clean, I can't do it. I can't just will it to happen. I can't make the dirty water clean. I can't do it. It's going to remain dirty. No matter what I do, it remains dirty. The source of the water, if it was working, honestly, right? The source of clean water would be taking the dirty water, going through the filter, and coming out the bottom clean. The source of cleanliness is that filtration process. Right? For us, the filter is when we invite God into our lives. Right? That's the filter for us. When we look to the Holy Spirit for comfort, for direction, for peace and instruction, the Holy Spirit is that clean water that refreshes our tired minds and provides the internal strength to keep us moving when all of our internal strength has just dried up and is gone. Recently, I was talking to a friend about exercise, maybe because the weather's changing and we're start thinking about coming out of the winter blues and just exercising. And she says she knows it's important to exercise, but she has a hard time, you know, getting the motivation to do it. I can relate. Anybody else? Yes. Right. Right. We can relate to that. And as we were talking, you know, one thing I shared is well, I've faced that and I have a trick. You want to know what my trick is? I pray. I pray about that. I pray and I invite the Holy Spirit into that situation. I pray about wanting to exercise. I confess to God that I want to exercise, but I don't want to do it. I confess that and I say, God, I want this, but I don't do it. It's hard for me and I don't have the motivation. And so I pray about that. And you know, the more times than not, I've actually seen my heart change towards exercise. I've seen it happen where my heart changes. And you know, I do believe that this is true. I think that the more you pray about something, your heart leans towards that thing that you're praying for. Whatever it is, your heart is inclined towards that thing. Our hearts lean in the direction of the things we pray for. And as people of faith, God does often give us the opportunity to see the results of those prayers. Not always, but many times he does. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged is God's way of telling Joshua, Joshua, I am with you. I am with you. Do not drink this dirty water when I am with you and I can give you the clean water. But that's not all that God says. That's not all that verse had to say. In fact, Joshua 1:9 ends with a promise. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In the same way that you and I would not venture off into a 3-day trek without some form of water, we're not going to ignore the promise of God's presence. He has a promise that through the Holy Spirit, you and I won't just survive whatever comes next, whatever our hearts are facing. We won't just survive it if we invite him in, but we will thrive through the journey, through the highs and the lows. Go back to our water sources again. Dirty, potentially clean. God is always with you. God is always with you. But here's the thing. You have to choose your water. God is always with you, but you have to choose the dirty or the clean water. I know it sounds crazy for me to say that. Like, who would ever choose the dirty water? But we're not a people who like to wait. We don't like to wait. We don't like that it's hard to go through the process of cleaning the water. But if you ignore the clean water and you take what is quickly available, it will lead to problems. It will lead to health problems. I literally texted my friend Paul this morning. I said, hey, do you think at the end of this thing, assuming this was clean, I could drink it at the end? He said, do not drink it. I'm like, why? He said, because the dirt is compost. It comes from my compost. There could be bacteria in that. Do not drink it. It's like, all right, would have been cool, drink it at the end. Because here's the thing. Once you get it clean, you do have to boil it. There's actually another step that we don't have here, but that's the best way. You have to boil it. Right? But so often we're quick. We're just like, oh, I just want the quick thing. And so we grab the water even though it's dirty. And it's going to lead to problems if we do that. Going to God and the living water is a choice. It means prioritizing a direct, unpolluted connection to God while actively filtering out the mud of the worldly compromise and sin in our lives. So how do we do that? How do we find an unpolluted connection to God while actively filtering the mud of sin in our lives? Well, the answer here I have found is IPA, not the beer, but IPA, which stands for Identify the Muddy Water, Pursue Living Water through Spiritual Discipline, and Actively Filter Your Own Spirit. IPA, Identify the Muddy Water, Pursue Living Water through Spiritual Disciplines, and actively filter your own spirit. You know, muddy water is anything. It's anything that contaminates God's love for you. That's the muddy water in our lives. Muddy water is anything that contaminates God's love for you. Anything that gets in the way of you and God muddies the water. When we get caught up in legalism, that's muddied water. When we get caught up in unresolved sin, that's muddy water. When we get caught up in compromise and complacency, the waters get muddy for us. Muddy water is anything that obscures this simple message. God has a very simple message for us, and I know you've all heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Anything that hinders you from understanding that, from believing from that, from acting out of that understanding, anything that gets in the way, it distracts you from that message and accepting God's grace and mercy and love is muddy water. And so we, in our own lives, we have to take time to identify the muddy water in our lives. So first identify your muddy water and then pursue living water through spiritual disciplines. In order for us to have access to clean water in our lives, we require a constant and consistent spiritual rhythm of immersing ourselves in Scripture, of praying and looking for God as we go about our living. I was thinking about how this is kind of like a vacation Bible school experiment that we might do in our summer camp, and it just made me think of God sightings. And we used to do that as a church. We'd say, where's God sightings? And the kids would all come back and report where they saw God. Why don't we do that as adults? Where's your God sighting from this week? Where did you see God at work? Consistently looking for those moments where God is alive in our lives. You know, also connecting with a church community. What we do here on the regular basis, what we're trying to build more of, it's important at this juncture as well. Building patterns and habits that will help you drink from the clean water rather than from the muddy water. As I mentioned to you in previous messages, this year I'm dabbling a little bit with AI. I've been playing around with AI. In fact, this message series, a lot of it has been kind of created with AI. And so I went to AI this past week on this message, and I said, hey, AI, how do you pursue living water through spiritual disciplines, this point? And AI kicked back two suggestions. The first one, spend 15 to 30 minutes reading the Bible, praying, and seeking God every day. Thanks, AI. What a revelation that is. Oh, if you want to get to know God better, read the Bible, pray, and look for God. Okay, that is not rocket science, folks. But here's the thing. It is discipline. It is discipline. It's not rocket science, but it is discipline. Pursuing God involves us making a choice to read, to pray, and to spend time with God. So that is how we do it. We identify our muddy water, and then we begin to pursue. We pursue living water through spiritual discipline. The other idea I thought that it kicked out was a little bit more creative, and it said this. It said, use the day of the week to do one task which helps you connect to God. So, for example, on Monday, you might say, Monday is going to be the day where I pray for my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, those people that I know who are in need, maybe the world. I'm going to pray for people on Monday. On Wednesday, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to connect with someone in my circle and see how they're doing, make sure they're okay. On Friday, maybe I'm going to use Friday as a day where I'm going to, spend time reviewing my week. I'm going to look back over my week and I'm going to say, hey, where did I have any unresolved sin? Where was I complacent in my faith this past week? You know, where is a place where I was legal, I was more legalism driven than I was righteous driven or even right living or graceful in my attitude? Where was I doing these things that might be hindering my relationship with God? And then you bring that, Friday is confession day, where you bring those things before God in confession. But you use the days of the week to kind of hone you in or focus you in or laser-like drive your attention towards God. In this way, you are pursuing living water through spiritual disciplines of going to God. Identify the muddy water in your life, pursue living water through spiritual disciplines, and then the last one is actively filter your spirit. Actively filter your spirit. Just as the muddy water needs to be filtered to become clean, for us to maintain clarity, we actively have to filter our lives. Can I say that again? Just as the muddy water needs to be filtered in order for it to be clean, we have to, in order for us to maintain clarity, we have to actively filter our lives. We need to practice forgiveness to prevent bitterness from taking root. We have to confront anxiety and fear by reminding ourselves that God is always with us. In all circumstances, He's there. We have to disconnect from the noise. Right? There's so much noise, maybe more so than ever before in the history of the world. We have to disconnect from the noise by making space and time and inviting silence into our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to refresh our souls. Actively filter your spirit. You know, in the beginning of time, God created everything, and He called it good. He called it good. And then dirty water entered in. Sin entered into the world, and it muddied the water, and it made it not so good. But you know, the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. He saw all of this happen. From the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was there. And now the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. God provides living water to guide, strengthen, inspire, and sustain us. And the question for all of us is this: will we invite Him in? Will we invite the Holy Spirit in? If we do, the water is clear, it's refreshing, it's sustaining, it's invigorating, it's good. The world offers us muddy water. That's what the world has to offer. Do not be swayed, do not be surprised. Anything outside of God. The world is offering you muddy water. God offers the Holy Spirit in response, and all we have to do is accept him. That's it. We have to accept that God has clean water for us, that God has good things in store for us. Doesn't mean everything's always good, but it just means that he's always with us no matter what. And he will help us filter and clean and remove the dirt from us. This is my command to you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank God for the clear, clean, refreshing water that he provides. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us the way that you do. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is there with us. God, that you are calling for us to draw ever near and ever closer in our walk with you. God, I pray that you would give us discipline, that you would give us the motivation. God, that you would help us to look to you for these things. Because we can all confess right here, in our own strength, we fall short. God, we can't even do the exercises that we want to do for our own health, let alone understand how we can handle the spiritual things of this world. It is only by your grace. It is only by your love. It is only by the power of your Holy Spirit that we allow into our lives, working in communion with us, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen us, that you would allow your Spirit to filter our spirits. God, that you would provide clean, pure water for us on our spiritual journey of life. We pray this all today in Jesus' name. Amen.